But welcome everyone. This is our fourth session and the topic of kings and prophets. And those of you who have the study material, it's page 25. I was impressed with that reading. I selected that reading, but I was impressed again when I saw something that's right in line with what we're saying. Because you see, we're doing the kings and the prophets, and we've come up to the stage where both the northern kingdom in Israel, in 722, went into Assyrian captivity, never to return. God's people, who made up the 10 tribes, were chosen by God to go out to the world and show the glory of God, and here they are now, under the judgment of God, scattered by God around the world and cursed. And then we saw the southern kingdom. Because all those northern kings, all of them were bad, 19 of them, evil, all of them evil. But in the southern kingdom, as we saw with Kevin, most of them were good and most of them honoured the Lord. But they were warned that they were heading for the same destination. And it wouldn't be the Assyrians, it would be the Babylonians and Nebuchadnezzar. And under Zedekiah, the Lord destroyed his temple, the Lord destroyed his city, the Lord destroyed his people. He terminated the theocratic kingdom in Israel until he comes back in power and glory. So we're going to have a look at that, the return under the southern kingdom and then out, right out of the future with the promises of God. But I'd like to read just a verse or two from Amos 9, which I have not scheduled, but it's good to gather up the themes that we will look at now. And it is Amos 9, and it says, verse 8, "Behold, the Lord, the eyes of the Lord God are on the sinful kingdom. I will destroy it from the face of the earth. Yet I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob." Think about that, yes. He will not utterly destroy. "Surely I will command, I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, as grain is sifted in a sieve." And that's where they still are today and have been for 2,500 years. Never recovered. But in those days of sifting, in verse 11, in the days of sifting, God will do something. "On that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. I will repair its damages, I will raise up its ruins and rebuild it, as in the days of old." It's coming back. What's coming back? The Jewish kingdom of the nation of Israel, with Jerusalem as the capital city, and the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David forever. Just as Gabriel said to the Virgin Mary, "The Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob, the house of Israel, forever." And we can't fiddle with the word forever there, because it says in the conclusion, "And of his kingdom there will be no end." Hallelujah, that's coming back as in the days of old. Now, this is not a re-establishment of the Old Testament. This is not a re-establishment of the Mosaic covenant. That era is gone. That covenant is gone. But under the new covenant, the Lord will rebuild the whole of the nation of Israel, and he will touch the land. Matter of fact, it says he's going to marry the land. Israel is going to marry the land. The names will be Beulah and Hephzibah, Isaiah 63. That's quite something, isn't it? Quite something. "Such is the love of the Lord for his people, for his land." Oh, of course, and for his purposes. Israel's a channel. And the land of Israel is the theatre. Incidentally, God did an earth walk 2,000 years ago. Men have walked on the moon, they're getting ready for Mars. But God did an earth walk.
didn't he?
2,000 years ago, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God in human form, just that little area of land there. And he was only known for 3.5 years. He lived for 33 years, but he was only known for 3.5 years. Of course, at year 30, that's when he became public. And he was silent those 30 years. I had a dear friend I worked with. We used to have a lovely talk together. He was about that close to the kingdom. Remember King Agrippa that said to Paul, "Almost you persuade me to become a Christian." So close. So close, you just wanted to go, oof, and push them over the line. But sometimes it doesn't happen that way. And this friend of mine, and he asked me questions, and I said, oh, I wish my fellow brothers and Christians would ask questions like this. And he said, look, when the Lord, if I was going to start a world religion, I wouldn't go about it the way the Lord Jesus Christ did. I said, oh, this is interesting. He said, first of all, I wouldn't get myself killed at 33 years of age. That's the prime of life. And secondly, I wouldn't just go to a little place like Tasmania at the end of the Roman world. Tasmania, incidentally, that's where all the old spies go to live, you see, in Tasmania. True. The end of the world. So he said, why did he come to a little piece of country at the end of the world, the Roman Empire? He should have lived until he was 80 and travelled all the countries of the world and preached. And I said, I wish my fellow brothers and sisters would ask questions like that. Why didn't that happen, brothers and sisters? I mean, he was 33. He was only preaching for 3.5 years at the most. He was silent for 30. What did the Lord Jesus do in those 30 years? We know he went to school. Kindergarten, synagogue, grade 1, grade 2, grade 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Then he did an apprenticeship in carpentry. Any carpenters here? I know Brother George in Nazareth, he's a carpenter, and when he travels an itinerary, he says, hello everyone, I'm a carpenter from Nazareth. That's how he introduces himself. We had a dear brother and sister who used to work with the Aborigines, and this is way back in the 1950s when everything was very conservative, as you know, and there was the Aborigines were right down, they were less than human in the thinking of people in the 1940s and 50s, and he used to stand up, and I love this. He used to stand up and he'd say, brothers and sisters, good evening. I want to tell you, my boss is an Aborigine. Because he worked under the Aboriginal leadership. And he delighted saying that. And everybody went, oh, what's going on here? But of course, he was a brother and sister in Christ to the Aboriginal people and those that come into leadership. And we know some of them. They are wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord. Look, I think we better... And so I said to this friend of mine, look, you've hit something on the head. Yes. Why did the Lord Jesus only go to a small piece of land? Because of the nation of Israel. And because of the people of Israel. And he was here long enough for them to see Almighty God in the flesh. That was sufficient time. And then his followers got the job of taking the message worldwide, man to man worldwide, woman to woman worldwide. Yes, there was a design in that. He came to offer the kingdom to Israel. And he said, you know these words of Matthew 10? Do not speak to a Gentile person. Do not speak to a Samaritan person. Where did the Lord say that? Anybody? Come on, Bible teachers. If you don't know that, you should enroll at Western Sydney Bible School. Where did the Lord Jesus say that? Do not go into the way of the Gentiles nor to the Samaritans. Matthew chapter. It's got two figures in it. to 10. Matthew 10, that's right. Matthew 10, that's an unusual, don't go to the Gentiles. Matthew 28, what did he say? Go to the whole world, yes. It's a different program. The Lord Jesus Christ coming on earth is a different program to that of the Gentiles. He came to offer the kingdom to Israel and present it. They rejected him. We will not have this king to reign over us. What has that got to do with kings and prophets of Israel? Not too much, so we better get down to it. Page 25.